Like we says this week, if I change, you should write that thought down. If I change the way I think, I will change the way I live. Mm-hmm. The change come from within the inner man. Mm-hmm. Because Paul says he has a problem living in the flesh. Because he says the things I say I wouldn't do, I find myself doing it. He says, oh, Rich, I says, I'm not going to do these things. The things I know is wrong. And I decide I'm not going to do it. He says, I do them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the things that I know I should do, I do not
do
them. Mm-hmm. He says, oh, wretched man that I am. Who is going to deliver me from this struggle that I am? Mm-hmm. You see, but thank be to God. God will help you to overcome the weakness of the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, and you teach that a lot, if you whatever you sow, you go to what?
Reap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just like with that piece of scripture right there. We can't just say, well, just like Paul says, the things that I want to do, I do not do.
Yeah.
The things I don't want to do, I keep finding myself doing.
Doing it.
We can't stop right there.
Because
then he continues on to say, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall save me? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So it's the power of God that brings forth change.
Yeah.
We can't just be comfortable say, well, just like Paul, the things I wanted to do, I just don't find myself doing.
Yeah.
The things I keep telling myself I'm not going to do, I keep finding myself doing. We can't just be complacent right there. We have to go to the next part of the scripture, which says that through Christ, then we're able to change our behavior.
Watch this. I can do all
things
through Christ,
who strengthens me.
Because the strength comes from him.
Mm-hmm.
I can't walk and look at my dirty dishes. Oh, man. I know I'm supposed to wash those dishes. I really need to wash them, but I don't wash them. Mm-hmm. So I keep on piling up what? Dishes into the sink.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen? I'm going to overrun with dirty dishes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't be looking at it and don't do them. I got to go wash them. I don't wash them. You want clean dishes? Wash them.
A lot of times we're tormented longer than needed because of procrastination. So the procrastination torments us. We keep walking by, we see it's not done. We keep walking by, we see it's not done. But the very day that you purpose it in your heart that it's going to get done, you go, you complete the task quickly. A lot of times, in a fraction of the time that it plagued you with procrastination.
I have a good example. And it's about me. Because of that, this is what I do. So I say, I know how to get my laundry done. I design a way. So every time I have a dirty piece of laundry, I put it in the...
Oh, straight in the washing machine.
Straight in the washing machine.
Uh-huh.
Not in the basket.
Uh-huh.
Save
a step.
I went straight. But here it is, man. It's so funny. I take it straight to the laundry and put it in the washing machine. Okay? The next time I put it in there. And all of a sudden, it's all full. I could have washed it long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, no, I got some more clean ones. So I keep putting. I fill that old thing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then one morning I look. I don't have anything to wear. Watch this, Pastor Don. I do not have anything to wear. So I have to spend the whole morning now.
Yeah, wash and dry.
Wash and dry.
2 hours.
I wasted all, and that morning I need to go somewhere. Oh, I was frustrated. I'm telling you, I was so frustrated. I was so mad. And you know, what am I getting mad about? I could have done it long time. I could have done it when I got a lot of clothes up there to wear. I wait until I don't have nothing to do. And so do we.
Yep.
So do we. Don't laugh at Pastor Lund, because you do it too.
Yeah.
We do. Mm-hmm. We keep on what? procrastinating.
Yeah. We only go to the Bible when we got a problem.
Oh.
We only go to church when we got a problem.
I need God today. Why?
Because I got a problem. But God will do more than just solve your problems. He will guide you to keep you from problems and show you how to advance in every area of life. So we must be in continual pursuit of God and everything that he has for us. He's not just the God of the dead end sign. He is the God of the access road.
Yeah. And if I if I spend time with God, he'd keep me away from the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If I spend time with him. If I, you know, why do I want to get in a problem? Then I have to beg him to get me out of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I need you today. Really? He said, really? Then what about the rest of the days?
Yeah.
No, God, those days were good days. I don't need it.
And that, Pastor, had identified that spirit a while back, the spirit of rise and fall.
Oh, yeah.
So if you think about the spirit of rise and fall, where it's down and then it goes up and then it comes down and up and down, a curvy line across a diagram, if we're falling and that's the place where we're only calling on God, then he causes us to rise.
Yeah.
We get to a certain position, we forget about God, and over time we fall again, which is the historical story of the children of Israel throughout the Bible, where they would be in a very low place. They would be in bondage. They would be in a terrible time. They would all corporately come together. They would cry out to God. They would fast. They would pray. God would deliver them from the hands of their enemies. Then they would get to the high point again. Then they would begin to blend in with the gods of the world, and they would start to forget about God, and it would bring them down again. So they were in this continual spirit of rise and fall, rise and fall. Well, if we're continually operating our life in a spirit of rise and fall, when we're building momentum, when we're moving up, we're limiting our actual growth, because we're only going from the low point to the high point to the low point to the high point, and it's a constant. But through Christ, through the power of the Holy Ghost, is to cause us to go from glory to glory, continual elevation. God wants to guide you into continual, perpetual elevation on your life. So it's just going up, up, up. Make your day count.
Thank you for tuning in to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastor Errol Beckford, Senior Pastor of Celebration Tabernacle Church in the beautiful city of Cocoa. For more information on this broadcast, please contact us at 321-638-0381. Tune in tomorrow to hear more about how you can make your day count.
You are listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
You are listening to the Morning Breath Podcast. Please enjoy today's show, hosted by a pastor on staff here at East Coast Christian Center.
What up, everybody? It is Pastor David Gammon hosting the show today. I am super excited you guys are checking it out. It is July. It is summer. It is hot again. Thank you. We had a weird spring, weird winter, but summer in Florida has come bouncing right back, letting us know that the weather is crazy. But what we're doing here, Morning Breath, is we read a chapter of the Bible the night before, and then we come into our Maridon studios, we read the chapter again on the air here, and we talk about what God breathes on our hearts. Normally on Thursdays, it is myself and Pastor Dan, and we get digging into it. Today, I am very excited. I am with my favorite person on the entire planet. She is incredible. She is beautiful. She is funny. She is smart. I am here with my wife, Nancy Gammon. How are you doing, babe?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to be jumping into the 1 Samuel 24, but before we do that, we want you guys to be able to be plugged into what we're doing. So, Nancy, tell them how they can follow along.
Okay, there's lots of ways. So first, the East Coast app. You can download that onto your phone or computer or whatever. And then ECCC.us, you can go there for all the info for the Morning Breath episodes, past sermons, everything you need, events our church is putting on. We have a Facebook page, we have an Instagram, we have a YouTube page too. You can call the front office, 321-452-1060, and give them your email address, and we can also email you all the information about how to follow along with us on this amazing radio program.
We got you taken care of. We got a bunch of stuff going on here. We want to welcome you guys back to church. Come on back. We got a place for you, and if you want to wear a mask, not wear a mask, that's up to you, but everybody is welcome. Something we have going on, too, we got a leadership growth track that's actually in its second session, I believe, this week, and come on out to it. For all of the things I'm about to tell you, go to our events page on our website. That's eccc.us/events for this growth track that's through the church. And then we got camp that's going to be happening here shortly. You can still sign up, man. It's getting tight, though, on signups, so don't drag your feet. If you want to go to our youth camp, you can still sign up, all right? And then we have a Global Leadership Summit happening August 5th, which is my baby's birthday, and 6th. Yes. And this is a worldwide thing. This is headed up by Craig Groeschel. Absolutely, massively impacting for you, your church, your business. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're anything that has to do with leadership, and as we hear a lot of these guys talk about, everything rises and falls based off of your leadership. So check this out. Go to our events page. You'll get all the details for all of these. And let's get moving forward with Jesus. So I tell you what, 1 Samuel 24. This is a pretty famous chapter, exchange.
It's a good
here.
One.
So I'm going to read the ESV. Which translation are you reading?
I'm going to read the NIV.
Okay. And then we got 21 verses. Where are we splitting it at again, did we say?
Maybe 10. You stop it.
I'll stop
11
at 10.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll read through verse 11.
Okay, yep.
And then you pick up the rest of the way.
Perfect.
All right, babe, you get me started.
I say to you, read, sir.
David spares Saul's life. When Saul returned from following the Philistines, he was told, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all of Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the Wild Goats Rocks. And he came to the sheep's fold by the way, where there was a cave. And Saul went in to relieve himself. Now David and his men were sitting in the innermost part of the cave. And the men of David said to him, "Here is the day which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you.'" Then David rose and stealthily cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And afterward, David's heart was struck him because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. He said to his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this to my Lord, lowercase l, the Lord's uppercase L, anointed, to put out of my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed. So David pursued his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul arose up and left the cave and went on his way. Afterward, David arose and went out of the cave and called after Saul, "My lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David bowed with his face to the earth and paid homage. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Behold, David seeks you harm'? Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into the cave, and some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, 'I will not put out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.' See, my father, the corner of your robe in my hand, for by the fact that I cut off the corner of your robe, I did not kill you. You may know and see that there is no wrong or treason in my hands. I have not sinned against you, though you hunt my life to take it.
May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you. As with the old saying goes, 'From evildoers come evil deeds,' so my hand will not touch you. Against whom has the king of Israel come out? Who are you pursuing? A dead dog, a flea? May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand." When David finished saying this, Saul asked, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" And he wept aloud. "You are more righteous than I," he said. "You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have just now told me about the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today. I know that you will surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will not kill off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family." So David gave his oath to Saul. Then Saul returned home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold.
Amen. All right. This is one of the most challenging and stretching chapters